What's up, everybody? It's time for another episode of your favorite podcast. This is episode 129 of the Prodigal Sons podcast. Today's April 18th, 2023. Topic today is we're back, and who is that guy over there?
Ba-dum-bum!
That guy is Chris. How you doing, Chris?
How you doing? What's up?
How we doing, Elijah?
I'm chilling.
Tomas.
I'm excited.
And I, Dave, doing just fine.
Hey, Yankee stink, huh?
I want to welcome in. I don't know if you guys know this. Yankees are doing fine. They haven't.
You didn't say hi to.
She wasn't going to say hi.
I don't know, but I mean, it's still.
I'm so sorry. And she has so much she wants to say today. So, how you doing, Lisa? Man. All right.
No, you're
gonna
no wave or nothing.
You're going to have to cut it off because we have a whole show to do and you just cannot talk the whole time. All right. All right. Cool.
She's still going.
Oh, my gosh. She never stops when it's on the show. Anyways, don't yell about the Yankees. The Yankees are doing just fine. They haven't lost a series yet. Garrett Cole, best pitcher in the... Anyway, I'm done. Excited.
Go Sixers.
We've been getting all kinds of reviews. We have, right now, 200,000 live viewers in the metaverse.
And still going up.
In the metaverse.
And
I would like to invest in the Prodigal Sons.
We have been we've been playing stadiums in the metaverse.
Yeah.
This podcast is lit in the metaverse.
My house in the metaverse is so big, my room's got rooms. I'm trying to tell you.
It sounds like a nightmare.
No.
You walk into a room, you got to go to another room and another room.
When you
can't get out.
When you come from nothing and your room got rooms, you mean your room has closets.
Oh, I see. So you're excited you have closets in the metaverse?
Hello, buddy. Hello, Shane.
Absolutely.
Are we allowed to be sick again? Betty. We're allowed to be sick? Doesn't seem like it's a big deal.
I see people that I didn't have it yet call for me so I can get it and get it over with.
Did you know that the pandemic is officially over?
In May.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Somebody said that. They were like, oh, yeah, for like 2 months now, the pandemic's officially over.
That's not true. It's going to be officially over in May.
Is that when?
In May.
Yeah. Is that when our dollar is officially over too?
Yeah, probably.
The U.S. dollar.
Yeah. That's where it does.
Yeah, how can you tell me when it's going to be? Like, if it's going to be over in the future, right? Like,
that's an awesome point. If you're telling me it's going to be over in 2 months, I think that means it's over now, right?
Exactly. Like,
it's like size. It's like daylight savings time. We all agree that it's dumb, and we voted. It doesn't exist anymore. So in 3 or 4 years, we'll stop doing it. What? Why don't we just not set the clocks?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
I think the way it is it's trending towards a number where they can say it's over.
Okay.
It's over.
Yeah.
But
like
the number will never ruin to begin
with. On Thursday, the last guy will get sick.
Yes. And then it's over. Are you guys still like when you're in public and you cough? Do you still feel weird?
I don't care.
Wow.
No, you know what? No, let me rephrase that.
Wow.
I don't feel weird, but I do the you know, what's this called again? I always forget.
Coughing in your armpit.
No, there is a term for this. What's it called?
There's a term.
Lisa,
for it?
No, what's the inside of your arm? The what is it called?
The crook.
Oh, she spoke.
Boom.
The what?
I got it. It's all.
She spoke. Did you see that? Did you hear that? See?
Did she say cubicle?
She said cubital.
You coughing in your cubicle?
That's a thing? Really?
Yeah.
That doesn't... Why cubicle?
I think she said cubital.
She didn't say cubicle.
Cubital?
What did she
say? Either cubital or hubital.
You have a microphone. No, use it.
She's like, I won't.
I refuse.
I messed up once. I won't do it again.
She went like this. Crip cut.
I mean, I didn't carjack you. You were trying to steal my mom's car. So,
what are you talking about? Oh, Amin said something. What up, guys? Welcome back. Been trying to let you guys know the last time Tom and Claire were here to visit. Pastor Tom tried to. You tried to carjack someone?
I did not try to carjack.
Whoa,
him.
This is not GTA.
Was it for the Lord?
What are you doing?
All right.
We'll take care of him, Amin.
What up?
You got Pastor Jack.
I know. Hello, Restream.
Restreamio.
Oh,
By the way,
Restream
now, yeah.
It's his cousin.
Even though the best part of this episode is over, can you please share, post, like, refer a friend? And
are you even watching us?
We have a whole new program where we give you cash to refer. It's metaverse cash, but we'll give it to you in the metaverse.
Then we got the bag then.
The what?
the bag.
That's what up, Pastor Owen? Pastor Owen, we got you on the schedule.
We think.
You know what I meant, right?
I'll have to call you, run it by you, make sure it's okay.
So, yeah.
He said we got one.
I heard Joel Embiid has been Joel really Embiid. Good. Did you guys?
That was New York hate.
No, I haven't. If the Nets were any good, I'd be interested in your series.
Joel Embiid?
No, Joel Embiid. He's been good, right?
Wait, Joel Embiid?
Yeah, Joel.
Did he throw another one? Didn't he?
No, it's Joel Embiid, the basketball player. He's fantastic.
19 rebounds last night.
You guys?
Who's you guys?
The 77s. 75s.
You can't even say it?
76ers.
Those guys, right?
He doesn't even hate the Sixers.
No, I don't.
I don't even understand. But 19 rebounds.
Is it Yol? How do you say it? Yol? Is it like a silent J?
Is it like yogging? Is it like, I'm going yogging.
Yogging. Yol Embiid?
No, you made that sound like that's how it's supposed to sound. You can't help him out.
Joel Embiid. Okay.
That, you know what? When you say it like that, the bowling league, the bowling league I used to bowl in, right? It was called the Church of God Bowling League.
Those are the nastiest leagues. When they're nicknamed after Jesus, they get so angry.
So every time we were playing, this guy came over and was like, yo, who is this Georgia God dude that just keeps getting 280s and 300s and all these high scores? Every week is Georgia God. I'm like, no, man, that's the name of our league. It's the person in the Church of God. He was calling him Georgia God. I mean, he kills it every week. That's not a person.
I don't understand. I think Chris has a little bit better handle on it. I don't understand who the teams play if they win.
We were trying to figure out the bracket.
Actually, I didn't. I can look that up. I didn't look up the bracket.
Okay, because I don't know who the 76ers are going to face, who they're going to, whatever. But I'm really hoping the Knicks and the 76ers.
I would love to see that.
Ooh,
if the Knicks get past this round, I'll be happy. Yeah. Because that's all I wanted is them to win one round.
I do
want to
see the Knicks and the Sixers.
Yeah. But people are getting hurt, right?
People are getting their chest stomped off.
Oh, yeah. Tom wanted to talk about that.
Totally different.
Tom wanted to talk about Draymond.
Man, on one day you could be like, man, that is a – he's really come along. Oh, God, he just crushed somebody's legs.
So I don't get it.
No, we play the winner of the Celtics and the Hawks.
So you play the Celtics.
We'll play the Celtics.
Yeah.
So we play the – so I guess we'll make it to round two.
If I'm getting ahead of myself, but if the Knicks beat the Cavs.
You play the winner of Heat and Bucks. The Bucks lost the first one.
We beat the Bucks
we beat the Celtics once. They won twice, we won once.
All you had to do was say we did beat them.
Just leave it at that.
I'm surprised you only played them three times.
Don't be.
Yeah, I was a little bit shocked at that too. But who they got that can stop Embiid? Nobody.
Oh, it's Embiid. That's why
you guys were left.
Yeah.
Listen, I'll be honest, and it's not because I'm a Sixer fan. If our five are on, forget about it.
Exactly.
Honestly,
we don't need five. We just need four on.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yep.
The only one I was really afraid of is Tobias. I mean, he's hurt. Nah.
Oh.
I'm talking about another.
You don't like
other.
Tobias?
No, I do like Tobias. I said the only other team I was really worried because I think.
Tatum?
No, the Bucks.
Oh, the
Bucks. Yeah, that's who I was worried about. Giannis.
I'd rather play the Bucks than the Celtics.
I feel you there.
Yeah, I'd rather play the Bucks than the Celtics.
And I like both Tatum and Brown.
We'd love to play the Knicks. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Afraid. I like Brown over Tatum.
I like both of them, but I'm not afraid of the Celtics.
I've never seen the Knicks starting five.
So I must ask, and listen, we're both. How are you not afraid of the Celtics?
Because I'm not. I'm not afraid of the Celtics. We have our defenders, our perimeter defenders.
They beat us every time we played them.
Yeah. No, they didn't. We beat them. You said we played them three times. They got us twice, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that doesn't mean. And I would wonder.
If we would have played them five times, we would have still won one.
No, that means we would have at least gotten two.
Maybe. Yeah.
At minimum. And I'm wondering. I'm wondering what those lineups look like. Was that what was all? Were all was Embiid in all the games?
Embiid was probably hurt.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
That team has no one. That team, the Celtics. Has no one that can really because Horford can't do it anymore, and Embiid takes it personal.
So I will agree on paper, you're right, but for some reason when they play us, they show up.
Oh, Boston always does.
It's funny though, because when the Knicks plays Boston, they always lay down. The Knicks have beat them like three times already this year.
And the Knicks starting five is nasty. Yeah. You got John Starks, Anthony Mason,
Allen
Houston, Charles Oakley, and Patrick Ewing. What?
Dude, Ewing is so big. A little slow. But I think that guy might be going places.
You were confused until I said Patrick Ewing.
I think Houston got him.
Yeah, that's when I used to watch the most basketball.
I know that's believe it or not.
Why do I know that? Why do I know that?
Until last year, that was the last time I was interested in basketball when my brother used to sit me down and watch the Knicks play the Bulls in the finals.
Hey, wow.
But the I don't know, last year or so we got into it. Lisa gets into the Knicks. She yells at RJ Barrett all the time.
Just pass it. Yeah. Don't shoot it.
Yeah. You gotta speak in his language. Pass the ball, eh?
regardless what happens, the championship's coming out of the East this year.
Yeah, I think so.
It will come out of the East this year. Yeah, I think so. Regardless what happens, it'll come out
just
of the
to
East.
See the Knicks competitive in this.
Shane, you're wrong, brother. I love my sports, man. Love my sports.
Sports talk and pass the time.
Delete that message right there.
Yeah, you should see Shane. You should see some of the videos that Tom had to buy from Lisa from the Super Bowl because he just got way animated and he was like, "I'm embarrassed about this. I give you $20 not to ever show this to anybody."
Yeah, so that's
funny. He got a little nutty
because one of those videos made it to the church on Sunday morning.
Well, you didn't buy that one.
I forgot about that.
Draymond.
Yeah,
I watched the video.
So here's the thing.
Now, right? I haven't seen it though.
I want to hear your take on it.
My thing is this. I am not saying that what Draymond did was right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a horse, right?
Oh my god! Wow.
And that's standing right in front of you, and you decide to maybe poke him in the back end, and he kicks you in the face. Whose fault is it?
It's your fault.
Yeah. Dude, there was no reason.
Who is the guy?
Why he grabs his ankle while he's trying to sprint down the court?
Who was? Who's the other guy that grabbed his leg?
I don't know.
So let me get this straight because I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it.
So you're saying that Draymond stepped on his neck?
No, not his neck at all. No, not his neck.
No, it was his chest.
So he was down on both feet, and then he turned around to sprint to the other side, and the guy grabbed his ankle.
Yeah.
And when he grabbed his ankle, it was on top of his chest, and then he stepped on him.
So he stepped on him to get the leverage.
Yeah. I watched it because everybody was saying that Draymond was in the wrong. I totally agree with Tom. It was whatever. What's he supposed to break his ankle to try to step over the guy? The guy is holding on to his ankle so he couldn't run down the court. No.
And he got ejected.
Stomp him. Yeah, he got thrown out.
Yeah, he got thrown
and they
out.
And they reviewed it and threw him out.
They didn't even do anything to the other guy.
Yeah. Nah, that's dirty.
So he's laying on the ground.
I don't think he's that hurt.
No, he's been going to the LeBron James.
He's
been going to the LeBron James acting classes.
Exactly.
That's what happened.
That's so hurt.
Here's the replay.
I mean, Draymond is a dirty player, but I gotta.
No,
on this play right here,
isn't he known for like punching dudes?
Yeah, he is a dirty player.
No, cut it out, man. He had to do that to get out of it.
I didn't say he had to. I'm not seeing a problem with it.
All of that. Come
Elijah, who are you siding with?
After rewatching it, man.
I'm not saying he was right for what he did. I mean, he definitely stomped on him.
Yeah.
But why would you grab like that? That's just like.
They said it was the second day in a row he grabbed his ankle, too.
It was. Did you see the first one?
No.
Yeah, I watched the first one.
Did he grab his ankle or was he just.
No, he locked him up.
No, he locked him up. He locks him up. He locks him up.
He didn't have to.
Yeah, he didn't have to do that.
But he locked him up.
Yeah, he didn't have to do that. Okay. But see, here. But I'm going to tell you how I feel about it. Even, you know, because I was on the way over here, I was listening to somebody comparing him to Dennis Rodman and some other people.
No comparison.
Dennis Rodman. Yeah, exactly. But Ron Artest. I always love
the bad boys.
Yeah, I always love defensive players because they're always a little crazy anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's what makes them great is because they're, you know, people are, they're inside your head already, right? Like, Tyson won, what, probably 75% of his fights before the guy came
before
in the ring.
He came out.
You know what I mean?
Psychological.
Exactly. And it's the same thing with Draymond. Like, you kind of stay away from him
you gotta,
if you're smart because something might happen. You know what I mean?
So that's the only. Listen, I'm not. He definitely stumped on him. Mm-hmm. He did. Yeah. I've watched the video millions of times already. But why would you? I mean, he could have. There was no reason to wrap your arms around his leg.
No, absolutely.
But Tom, I bet you he never do it again.
He did it the night before.
He did it the night before.
He did it the night before. Did he get stepped the game before.
Did he get stepped on the game before?
Draymond like fell on him like
he didn't get stepped on though. He didn't get that. Didn't happen. Now if he do it again, well, shame on him.
This is
so there's the whole also the psychological part of it. Do it again, you might lose Draymond again. We have a better chance of beating them. Because he's got the bad name already. So whatever happens, he's the one that's going to get ejected. But listen, we're not professional basketball players. We just talk about
All right, let's move on from this local news nonsense that nobody really cares about. Let's talk about what America wants to hear. Did Elijah fall asleep at the movies?
Listen. Yes. I looked over, and my man's got his head back with his eyes closed. And if I would have taken the camera out a little quicker, I would have got a picture of him.
Not true.
Just like he fell asleep during the Christmas service. And just like we've caught him sleeping on the Prodigal Son show.
Wait, that's on camera?
The Christmas one is on camera, yeah. Yeah, my wife happened to just be filming because it happened right before he said the world's funniest line ever. It's 10:45.
Oh, that Christmas one in the fireside. I forgot about that.
Not true, man. I watched you the whole time. You got excited.
I'll give it to him. He told me everything that I did. He did tell me everything that I did.
Well, that's the thing is, I think he has that subconscious thing that never shuts off, that unconscious brain that, because when you catch him sleeping, he's always like, no, I saw this. What you were just saying was about the, you know, he always will repeat it back.
He was like this.
He's just like every dad. You know, he's just that dad.
Those
chairs were comfortable.
And I leaned back because I was able to, this is how I sat in the movie. Look.
I absolutely went to sleep, so I'm not even going
to. No, you didn't have to deal with what I had to deal with. This is what I had to deal with.
Yeah.
who was kicking you in the back?
We can't say that on air.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it was children at the show. There was a lot of children.
So my man Chris had two seats, though, because he kept going from one side to the other side.
I did. He was watching the Sixers game.
Yeah, and then he went to his son, and then to the Sixers game.
I really was.
Did you have it on your phone?
Yeah, I was watching it on my phone. It was on one of those streaming networks. And I was sitting there watching it with my friend on the other side. And then I got up because I knew I had like snacks and stuff on the other side of it. we rented out the theater. It was like being at home.
Exactly.
It was a good time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I had a ball.
Oh, I should be hating.
Sleep in church, so why be surprised if he falls asleep in the movie?
Yeah, it's true. That is true. Yeah.
You know, I let me tell you something. If I catch wind of it while I'm preaching, I'm gonna call it out. I'm gonna say, can someone wake Elijah up?
No, see.
I'm never sitting in front
and
of
you
me.
Know I'll call it out while I'm preaching.
Tom is throwing me off too, because the other day I was really like hot or cold?
Cold. He said
I was really cold in church the other day because the air was just kicking. So I went back to the thermostat and I'm messing with it. He goes, and Tom from the pulpit while he's preaching stops preaching and goes, "Is it cold in here?" Well, I only ask because I see Dave back there at the thermostat. I'm like, I can't get away with anything now.
I call it out.
It's like when I was a kid and my dad was preaching. He would stop and go, "David, do we have a problem?" Jeez. No, I'm just messing around. He did it.
Don't yell at me. You know that Homer Simpson meme when he goes into the bushes?
That's what he did into the back room. He went backwards in there. He just slipped around the corner.
He's so old, it's a gift.
All right, go ahead.
What did I call it?
No, what happened?
So there's this new thing that's going on that I don't understand. It's so I keep seeing these people with really long hair walking around. And I say to Lisa, I was like, how is that comfortable to have hair that goes that long? She goes, that's not real hair. That's extensions. And I can't tell the difference between real hair and extensions. So I'm wondering, what do you guys think? Should I get extensions?
Oh, my goodness.
I'd say yes.
I think, Elijah.
I don't know what they would connect them to. You don't have.
Elijah, you and me, can we go get extensions?
You have to grow out your hair a little bit so they can.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Nope. That's called a wig, though.
No, it's glue.
Yeah, it's a wig.
Right.
Glue. So I'm wondering, at this point, I've given up on anything growing in the back 40 here. So I'm just wondering, like, can I get extensions and, like, actually have hair? Yeah, I can do that.
Hulk Hogan did it for years.
Would you help me pick them out?
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Those were extensions, dude.
Well, I mean,
look, have the bandana on, but this right here.
No, I know, but I thought it was like if Tony grows his hair out, you'll just get right here.
No, it was extensions.
Right? Oh, I didn't know.
Hmm. So this is a possibility. Do you know anybody who can do that for me?
Yeah, man. Yup. All
right.
Yup, I do.
Would you do it? Is that what you're saying?
No. Super glue? No.
Do you glue them on? What do you do?
It's you got to grow. You do grow a little bit of hair out. They can sew it in, actually. They don't have to glue it on.
They can tattoo hair, too.
So that's what I'm going to get. I'm going to get mine.
The lineup?
Yeah.
What did dude do in Atlanta Hawks? Who's the really annoying? Trae Young.
Dude, what do you mean?
The dude. What did the dude do?
What about it?
Trae Young. He looked really bald last year, and he looks less bald this year. So he did something when his contract got paid.
I don't know. That's what you get when.
I mean, it still looks awful. It looks like that guy from Back to the Future with the crazy hair, Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd. Doc Brown.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Trae Young still looks really bad.
Wow. But. That's what you get if you if a Smurf marries a Muppet.
What? Trae Young.
Trae Young.
Jeez. Oh. Okay. Well. That happened. Wow. Tom watches makeover shows, and not the kind you think.
He plucks his eyebrows.
Pastor Tom was. I trim my eyebrows all the time. I trim
really?
Them like every 2 days because otherwise they just get. I just get some crazy going on.
I don't have any.
Yeah, I've never touched my eyebrows.
I pluck them.
I guess they do it at the barbershop. Maybe
no.
They
can if you ask for it.
Yeah,
You color yours in.
I don't have any.
You can get them tattooed.
Yeah.
Get really let's get them just connect them, build a bridge.
The brow,
just build. Yeah, have them make it look like you're asking a question all the time.
Yo, that would be fun.
Get one up here. it looked like you're suspicious all the time. Just that way, your kids would not know what to do. They'd be like, "Oh, he's on to us."
Some sinister look or something.
Yeah, he just came in to say goodnight, but I think he's on to us.
That's funny.
Pastor Tom was preaching the other day, or a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about makeover shows. He's like, you know, like those makeover shows. And I'm like, oh, like those home makeover shows where they like completely renovate a house.
No, I'm talking about people makeover.
No, and then he's like, no, the one where the people go in and then they like do all the makeup and everything. And I was like, what kind of shows are you watching?
Yeah.
Wow. You were watching it?
I'm kind of drawn to them sometimes. Yeah,
you can't walk to Five Below in Collegeville without going to Ulta.
I wish you would have mentioned that you watch.
I'm in Ulta all the time, but that's because my wife loves that story.
Mm-hmm. 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 My wife.
Now I look suspicious.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Wow. There's things that come out of his mouth when he preaches. I'm like, really? I never knew that. Wow. I think you're starting to, like, you know, you're being genuine and things come out when you're speaking. Yeah. And sometimes those things that come out should probably have just stayed in.
It's like when you forget that the camera's even there.
There was a point to that story, though.
All right. What was
the point?
The point was that the reason that you buy the product is because you see the before picture and the after.
Yeah. Actually, I really
talking about the crucifixion.
I really liked the metaphor. I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
It was good.
I get that. You're transformed.
And he said if you never saw the picture, if you never saw the transformation, you wouldn't buy the product.
Yeah.
So
I did call Dave out on that one, too. I say his name out a lot. I do call a lot of people out while I'm preaching.
Yeah, but I didn't know. Speaking of which, I didn't know why you called me out for that one.
Because I was talking about the machines that you buy.
I thought you were saying I was ugly. I missed that.
That was the last sermon.
Oh, like the home workout machines.
Yeah, yeah. You see the, you know.
But there has been a transformation.
There has.
Yeah. I'm like 15 pounds away from 100.
I know.
Almost what? At 100. We should celebrate when I hit 100.
What, 100 pounds. Loss?
Yeah, I'm at 84 or something like that.
What?
Yeah. You've lost 84 pounds? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to have to talk about that.
I got to know.
Yeah, I don't think you knew me.
25 pounds before kids camp.
Yeah.
Did you start?
I have. I've lost about, what was I? I was 290.
Oh, man, you sound like you're making a
second. No,
man.
No.
Dave. What's up?
He's like, yeah, I was about like, yeah, about
he's like, yeah,
bada bing.
I started. Yeah. I started. Yeah,
I started. That's the truth.
I started thinking about it.
No. I did start tonight. I had a steak. I didn't get the baked potato. I had a salad. You know, I had a nice salad. I didn't smother it in
the wait, you didn't dressing. Get the baked potato? That's no, the healthiest I part.
That's not the healthiest part.
Baked potato?
Yeah.
I mean, it's without not, the that's butter, carbs. That's the healthiest part.
That's carbs. Right?
I don't know.
This guy's
starch.
This, yeah, but you need the carbs for the energy, though.
Yeah.
But you're down 80 what?
83.
You're down 83, like, and I'm down 25.
I don't think Chris knew me when I was at my heaviest.
Nah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I can't even imagine you. Believe me, I can't even imagine you being.
I'll show you a picture.
Yeah. We can just put one of the when we first started the show
because we have 200,000 listeners right now watching the show.
240. I just checked the live. 240,000.
10,000 dropped off already.
If you play basketball and you're used to playing in the post and you lose 25 pounds,
yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Remember that the dude that outweighs you already by 100 pounds now outweighs you by 125 pounds.
Wow.
I don't understand what these guys are able to do. I don't want to be sports.
Sean Conroy's down 50.
Yeah, awesome. What's up, Sean?
Everybody's hey, one up.
What's going on, Sean?
Way to go, Sean.
So Julius Randle for the Knicks, sorry. Just so good. He got a really bad high ankle sprain like 3.5 weeks ago. He was out there playing. He's 295 pounds or something.
Is he that big?
Is he that big? He doesn't look that big to me. That's got to be muscle.
Somebody look up how heavy. Anyway, I've done that before. I couldn't walk straight for 6 months. Mm-hmm. 3 weeks later, he's dunking and dropping on the ground and just, oh, man.
A lot of tape, special
A shoes, lot of tape, special extra, and trainers.
Yeah, some
trainers.
Medication.
Yeah, that needles, same stuff Mahomes got.
They're painkillers.
High ankle sprain. Oh, let me run in. Oh, that never
happened. Oh, sorry. No, he's 250. Sorry, I thought he was like 290. Oh, he's 250.
That's still big,
yeah.
though.
Yeah,
that's
he's still, a big dude. Yeah,
what is this? I'm starting to think that moose don't exist.
I was going to bring that up. We kind of run out of time. I keep going up to the Northeast for work, into Maine, Vermont, and New Hampshire. And up there, they have all these signs that say moose crossing ahead, the next 5 miles, just like we have for deer, the next 5 miles, moose crossing ahead. And when I get up to that area, I purposely take back roads so that I can see a moose. I've been doing that for a decade.
Why would you take the back road? They're crossing the road.
No. I'm staying off the highway, and I'm taking like the country highways because that's where the moose crossing signs are.
Okay,
I want to see a moose.
You're going.
I don't care if it attacks the truck. I want to see a moose.
But you do know they are where they aren't supposed to be. So, like I said, they are.
They're on the highway. They're just running down the highway. Do they signal when they're changing lanes? Is that what you're saying? They're out there on the highway.
They blink.
They blink. How do you see them from behind? They move the tail.
You know what? Like when you're on a bike and they put their arm out.
Oh, they put the arm out. They just put the tail. Oh, they put their like antler horn thing out.
No, just the tail.
Just the tail.
All right, let's do one of these quick would you rather because you're
okay,
would
you rather's we're running out of time.
Really silly lately.
We only have one would you rather and then we're going to get off onto the main topic if we're okay. Okay, would you rather.
This is going to be crazy. Listen.
Okay.
Don't hype it up.
No, because all the ones that you had in the past, whatever, are like, go ahead.
I feel like I need to like, anyway, would you rather walk 10 miles with a pebble in your shoe? Or would you rather walk 10 miles with sand in your shorts?
A pebble,
one shoe, but it's like right on your foot, like every step.
If this one pebble, you can avoid it.
No. It's in your shoe.
Yeah, you can just walk on your tiptoes.
You can't avoid it. It's right underneath you. 10 miles. You can't walk on your tiptoes for 10 miles.
I mean, then you go on your ankles.
Give me a pebble size.
Tiptoes, ankles.
You couldn't walk down the hallway on your ankles.
Pebble size. Like it would have
like a dime. Like a dime.
Flat like a dime?
No, it's sharp. It's got a little sharp to it.
And yeah, there's no avoiding the
that's
sharp.
Like walking on
Is the sand in the pockets?
You said in your shorts. You didn't say
no.
Yeah, right. He
didn't specify. It's like just came off the beach inside your shorts. Not in your pockets, inside your shorts. Like when you're walking, it's
I think thick. I got to do the pebble because I think sand is the most. I
gotta, it's abrasive.
I got to do the pebble. I got to do the pebble, yeah.
I hate sand.
I got to do the pebble.
I hate the beach because of sand. I love, if I could make a beach without sand, I'd be there.
Yeah, I love the beach.
Also, I've been fat about like it. My whole life, so maybe that has something to do with it. I don't
you
know.
Can't have
you're not going to do any funny dives off the diving board this year?
Oh, I've been working on them. Trust me.
You can't have the beach without sand.
I don't know if that's true. Sand? I'm from New York. We can concrete anything. Sand is,
but just, sand is the space between sea and land.
No. We could do something with this. Sand. We can concrete, brick, paver. I grew up with a lot of Italian people. We can put pavers and bricks over
call
all.
Call Mario and Luigi's cousin. One of the guys that was sitting at the table.
The guy used to be my neighbor.
Yeah.
One of the guys that was sitting at the table.
That was Sal. He was my neighbor. he knew some guys. Anything you needed, he got the guys.
Everybody in the movie that was at in Mario's family talked like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I know some of them.
I love the way, like, every time we discuss something, it feels like, you know, we try to motivate each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in Hebrews 10:23-24, it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And now there's verse 23. I didn't make it part of it, but I usually when I pick verses, I like to read what's in the chapter. The verse right before that is so important. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. And that, you know, when I was doing some research today, that really stuck out to me because this is my accountability group, mm-hmm. right? This is the group where if I'm having a bad day or something's going on, I can call one of you guys and you kind of pep me up. You motivate mm-hmm. me, right? Mm-hmm. And to see it biblically in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, just speaks volumes. Mm-hmm. And the reason I brought this up is because we have you mm-hmm. right now mm-hmm. that is going to talk a little bit mm-hmm. and we are here to motivate you to keep you accountable and to stay together. It would have been so easy after 3 weeks off to say, guys, let's just maybe that's the Lord saying let's not do the show anymore, right? Mm-hmm. But we came together. We not only did we come together, we met for about an hour and a half at Dave's house and came up with the next 20-25 topics that we're mm-hmm. going to talk about. And I'm excited to hear your story. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to know a little bit more about you. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited for you to I'm just going to leave it at that because... Well,
before Chris gets started, though, you don't want to know what I'm excited about.
What are you excited about?
I'm excited about the big announcement we have tonight.
I know. That's why I shut up.
What's the announcement?
Are we doing the announcement? About?
I think we might do it right now.
We should do it right now.
I think we should do it right now.
We should do it right now because I only say no. Sense.
We should do it right now.
Wait, but now?
You gotta be different.
Now or now?
you're gonna learn.
So, Dave, go ahead.
So, the prodigal sons. You know, we're all family, and
yeah, that's definitely true.
And we're I don't know what Elijah's saying, but he's telling secrets, and I don't like it. So I think I'm out of here. No, so the prodigal sons are a big family, and we're like an adopted family. We're God's family. We're all kind of different. We have different backgrounds. We look a little bit different. We like to get together and have fun, and that's what we do. And we decided that the family needs to get bigger.
Amen.
And we went out and we adopted another prodigal son. And he's right over here, and his name is Chris Pulley, and he's been on a couple of times.
Yep.
And he's the newest member of the Prodigal Sons family. So
I do want to clarify one thing real quick for the people that are watching. Sean Conroy is still very much part of this Prodigal show. We're going to start going on a rotation, so one of us will have off, and we're going to go on a six-week rotation. The 6 weeks we're all going to have off. But we decided for accountability purposes that we will post the 6 weeks up what the topics are so you guys can know that ahead of time.
And we're going to start a book club, and you can read the books too. But yeah, so every week it'll be four of us, four out of the five of us every single week. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how are we going to work that around Sean's incarcerations, though.
Did they catch him?
I can't believe he's back in jail again.
No, is he?
Yeah.
He was out the other day. I saw him.
I know. I don't get it. It's the craziest thing. I don't know how he's got the the thing about it is that the officers are scared of him, so he actually has internet access
and they give him his cell. Phone and stuff.
They give him his phone, a laptop, and he's able to communicate.
Also, half the
us.
Time, I don't think he actually gets arrested half the time. I think he just shows up at the jail and just requests his cell.
Let me in.
It's like it's a he thinks it's a hotel. Right? He enjoys it.
He's got a standing reservation.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
is that why his car had the screwdriver in the ignition? No, I'm just
kidding. Well, I mean, when you said his car, I think we can stop right there with that.
The vehicle
he was in. Gotcha. Yes. Yeah. So tonight we're going to learn a little bit about our brother Chris and give you the floor, bro.
Yep. So I had absolutely no idea what I was going to talk about tonight. I got pastor bullied.
Yeah, so we're doing the topics. And I said, Chris, do you want to do your testimony this week? He's like, give me one extra week to prepare. And Pastor Tom just goes, no.
Now he's doing it to me. So I said, all right, bro.
He just was like, no, he's doing it. I said, no. But he said, no, I heard what he said. I don't care. He's doing it. All right, sorry. No,
but I love him for it. I love him for it because, you know, he has faith in me. So I was thinking about exactly what I wanted to talk about because I'm kind of going through some really, really deep things right now, and I'm fighting multiple battles on multiple fronts. So as I was thinking about that, I thought about my life and where I came from. And it's funny because I keep hearing all these things. Like you were talking about trust in God, right? And I've always believed before I met my wife of 15 years, who's recently passed away, that I was living the like a mirror of the trials of Job. I've gone through a whole bunch of stuff. Mm. And I thought when I met my wife that I was at the end of that journey and I was being rewarded for staying faithful. You know, through all the craziness that I'd lived through and tried to keep a good attitude about it and, you know, never really, you know, like the prodigal son, I walked away for a while and found my way back. But, you know what I mean? I thought that I was, you know, I was getting my reward, and then the rug got pulled out from under me yet again. And I find myself having to ask, is this another trial and why? You know, why? And then, and that's the one question that no one can answer is the why. And so I thought that that was the biggest thing I'd talk about tonight is that I'm still here.
Hmm.
You know, I'm still here and God still loves me. You know what I mean? And I believe that and I know that. I still ask why, and I did what a lot of Christians do. Someone called me and kind of a mentor of mine, he asked me, he said, Chris, you know, I'm talking and I was, you know, going through whatever I was going through. He says, Chris, are you mad at God? And I said, what Christians say, oh no, God is my father. How can I be mad at God? Da, 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 da. And I did that for a little while. And I think it was you, one of the two of you were with me and I was in my little hideaway where I go. And I finally admit it. Yes, I was angry with my father. I was angry with my father for being in this situation and not understanding why or what it's supposed to do or what my purpose is. I thought my purpose was to be a good husband and a good father. And now I got to be something a little different than what my vision was. So after weeks and weeks of going through those things, I come back to it again and I still haven't got the why answered, the why, and I'm seeking that answer. You know, maybe you guys can help me figure out the why and what it's supposed to do to me, because I believe that God has a plan and a purpose for all of us. I think it's real. I think he tests us over and over again, and those I believe those tests are meant to teach us something and make us stronger. And lead us to whatever his ultimate plan for us is. But I still have no idea, why I'm in this situation that I'm in now, living this life without, you know, without my partner, without the person that I had come to love probably more than anybody else outside of my son in this world. So the answer, the answer that I've come to that gives me comfort is that God still loves me, and there's something behind it. There's something that I'm supposed to do. So I'll tell this really quick story. So I leave out of here one day and I was upset. It was after church, and I go home and I just broke down, and I was broke to pieces, and I started playing music. And it was really, really strange because the first song, I never heard some of these songs before, and the first song that came through was a song about dancing with the angels, and it was beautiful, and all I could picture was my wife dancing with the angels. And then the next song that came through was "Take Me Back to Church." It was crazy, and so this came up, and then there were some other songs, and then the final song came through, and it was funny because my neighbor could hear me. I'm yelling, I'm on my knees, I'm yelling in the house, and I'm yelling why, why God, why, and the next song that came through, for me I'd never heard it before, but was Torian Wells. God's not done with me yet. Yeah, isn't that? It was crazy on my Facebook page. It's all you can see. I put the list of songs as it was like five songs. It all came through in order. They all tell a story. Only one of them wasn't a Christian song. It was something about a hug or something like that that made me feel like my wife was hugging me. And the rest of them were Christian songs. And the last one was God's not done with me yet. So, as I put my feet back on the ground and I try to stand up again, that's what I got to try to remember. I play that song over and over again. God's not done with me yet. And that's how I stay motivated. That's how I know I got to continue. I got to get my son to manhood, which is extremely important to me. And hopefully I can do it productively. He can be a productive member of society and, you know, be a good dude. And I can, fulfill whatever God's plan for me is. I still have no idea what that is. I'm looking for it. Pastor Tom keeps throwing stuff my way, and he keeps throwing haymakers, and I'm real good at ducking and dodging.
I think you learned that from Pete.
Yeah, Pete was good at that too. So I still keep ducking and dodging and resisted, and my wife always said that you're resisting. She said you're resisting. She used to tell me all the time that I was resisting. She thought that I was supposed to work with kids in some way. And we're going to do a show about that. We were talking about
Bring Crystal him, said, when you teaching children's church. I'm sorry.
What is it?
Crystal said, when are you teaching children's church?
Say, it might be coming. It might be coming. It might be happening. I got my clearances. I put in for them, and I got my clearances.
You heard it right here. He's going to teach children's church.
See?
Yeah.
You didn't dunk. You just took the shot. You didn't dunk.
Well, you held me.
Yeah, held him down.
Yeah, he held me down. You see, he set it up.
No time took the shot. I went.
He set it up. Yeah. I dipped it. So I mean, we'll see. I mean, I told Crystal that, and this is something else. I mean, we were talking about this. Like, I want to see more young men, more single men, come to church and stay in church. Like, that's kind of my passion. Sitting up where I sit. I looked down on the church and I saw a lot of, I saw a lot of married men. I saw a lot of older men, widowed men, some divorced men. What I didn't see was just single men that just come to church just to come to. And I'm guilty of that myself. I mean, I walked away for a while. I was raised in a church and I walked away for like a solid decade or so. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. But I see it, and I think some of it has to do with, I always remember people would say, you get them young and you keep them young. You know what I mean? You keep them there. You know what I mean? So you got to catch them young. And so I think that, young, making it a safe place and a place where they fit in. When we went to church, remember I said to you, the movie that we were talking about, to me, I walked in. Especially, kind of going through some of the trials I'm going through now. To me, when I walked in, my son just took off, and it was like being at the family barbecue. You know what I mean? I hugged my uncle my brother, and my son went off with it. My cousin went off with it to play with the kids, and I didn't really care where he went in the theater because he was with his family. And so I think that I want to figure out how can we make, our young men feel that way to the point where they want to be here all the time, just like we do, as older, wiser men, know, if you want to call it that.
Just stick with old, stick with older.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But for some reason, you come back later, but what if imagine what could be accomplished if you never left. Imagine if we didn't wait till we were, 30, 40, 50.
That's a whole new testimony.
Imagine, what I mean? So, but we had to do something to figure out why it happens and try to address it.
Did we all do that? I know Tom was away from the church. I was away from the church for a while. Elijah, were you away? You were kind of like show up once in a while, and we worked a lot and all that stuff, right?
No, I didn't show up. Yeah, you can say I was away from the church because my mother was forcing me. She was forcing me to, you should go back to church. You should go back to church. And I never wanted to. And then when she passed, I ended up here and never left.
So
how long were you away from the church, would you say?
It was like 10 to 15 years that I was just kind of, I was kind of doing my own thing. I wasn't too crazy out there in the world. I mean, I was doing secular things that I can't talk about on the mic right now, but I was not, I wasn't, too far out there. But, I was raised in a church. My father, he was very, very big in his church in terms of, he was dedicated at 25. I went to that same church up until I was, like 2021, out there every day, doing the lawn, shoveling, changing, the bathroom fixtures and things, that whatever the church needed. We were there every Sunday, probably Saturday too, in a lot of cases. So, went to Sunday school, went to, vacation Bible school in the summer. Like, we did all of that. And then my dad said, at 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, somewhere right around there, he said, well, it's your choice now. And I said, freedom! you know, and you know, he took the chains off, but you know, what can we do so it doesn't feel like that? So it feels like, you know what? It's not chains. I wanted to be here. Yeah. Anyway. I want to be here. Yeah. So I think that's partially where my heart is. And you know, where part of my future is. So we'll see where that takes me.
Now, how did Crystal start coming to this church?
We were at another local church, and our pastor passed away.
Oh.
And unfortunately, Abu was a – I mean, he – actually, I was baptized at that church, believe it or not. It's a shame because it's not even there anymore. They actually turned the church. This is another problem we have too. Oh, they turned the church into apartment buildings.
Where was that? Locally?
Yeah, it's locally. It's right on what is that? Church Street? Is that church? I think it's on Church Street, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's Church Street. But it's. The thing with that church was I could see it from my living room, so it was a constant reminder. It was like, you know, I was kind of watching over God's home. And for a short period of time, after I had met my wife, and believe it, it was when my son began to talk and walk, and he said, "Daddy, let's try that place."
Hmm.
And that's how we started going back there. But when that church closed, the pastor, kind of closely held, and that particular flock just kind of scattered. And my wife, who also had always been a part of church, she was raised in the church, and she had served, her family served. She needed it, and she started visiting different churches in the area, and she ended up coming to this church, and she really liked how genuine the people were, and you know, again, it was comfortable. It seemed like family, which is big for both of us. We're both very, very genuine people. We don't know any other way to be, and she liked it here. And I came sporadically, but I was kind of like a ghost, you know. I just kind of show up. Does he really exist?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. And, meanwhile, she's here like a week and she's running the place.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, and again, we'll talk about that, you know, some other time. One of my regrets, actually, with my wife is that I didn't come more often with her. I feel like I began to take it like I knew where she was going to be every Sunday at 10 o'clock, and at that point I could turn on my video games, or I could go play ball, or I could, you know, I could do a whole bunch of other things, knowing that I was going to have that free time. Yeah. And you know, where I didn't have to be a husband or a father, because my wife taught children's church, so she would bring my son, and we both wanted Miles to have that foundation that we had, so she made sure that he came to church. And honestly, one of the reasons why I began to come back to church after she passed is because I wanted Miles to also have that foundation, and that brought me back. But I find I needed it probably more than he did.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I needed it probably more than he did. And the first couple weeks, I couldn't even bring, because I didn't want him to see me, you know, in that way. And I can't, so I purposefully came by myself to try to get it out of my system. But I found that I really needed it. I mm-hmm. needed to be here. I needed to be around family. I needed to be in a place where I felt accepted, not judged, and I could just, you know, try to begin that whole healing process. So
when you would come and you would hide up, it was almost like we had scouts. Because
mm-hmm.
we were focused over here. We were over here. Somebody tapped us. Yo, Chris upstairs. Remember, we went up there. And we mm-hmm. did. We went up there and we got you. Mm-hmm. Now every time I'm giving up my secret. I don't care. I go up there now. But mm-hmm. every time I'm standing back, I'm like, is this mm-hmm. car out there? No. Because mm-hmm. you sneak past, and I'm like, mm-hmm. when you get up there,
buddy? Sneaks right up to the balcony.
Yeah, you sneak right up there, and I'm like, all right. But we look for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because I don't, you know, like I don't want to be. So my wife. One thing I tried, whenever we would come to church, we'd sit in the same spot, right? And this is what I mean by when you look down, you see married couples together. And generally, I don't know why, but a lot of people have a tendency to sit. It's almost like assigned seats sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I would get there and I could see her almost sitting in our spot, like sitting in our spot. Mm-hmm. In fact, I saw Pete sitting in there with his family, and it like made me feel like super good that another family had decided that that was their spot. You know what I mean? And I know she would have appreciated that, especially because it was him, because she had a lot of faith in him. But I couldn't bring myself to do it myself. You know what I mean? And so I tried sitting in other places, and people would come say stuff to me, or did it, and then I would just, you know, crumble. So I decided to just, you know, let me go hide out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd be up there peeping and what have you, because I didn't, like, I'm a, you know, a spectacle. You know what I mean? I don't want to be that, you know.
You don't want to be the center of attention.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd, you know, creep and hide out a little bit. So.
It's not also not the first time I've ever heard somebody say that, like, after there's a significant event or something like that, they just say, man, I just want to kind of be part of it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be what everybody's looking at, you know.
Yeah, so. It's you just, you know. Because, you know, you don't want to be that guy. Like, you asked me, you know, it was Easter. He asked me what I was doing, and I didn't want to be the guy that everybody invites to, you know, Easter dinner because you're by yourself. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be that guy. You know what I mean? And so you try to figure it out, you know. And it's happening slowly but surely. You know, I can talk about her again, and that's a good thing, because she was, you know, I recently came, I didn't even know I was, you know, I recently became okay with the idea that, you know, if I had to be with her, you know, and it could only be 15 years, I actually asked myself that question, or not have her at all and still be married in that family life or whatever, which... And she changed me. She was the best thing that ever happened to me. And so, you know, I'll take whatever time God decided to give me. You know, I don't know where I'd be without her. She made me powerful. She made me strong. You know what I mean? She made me feel like, you know, people in the world were good, were genuinely good, and not, you know, not, you know, out to get you, false, any of that. She was, you know, what did somebody tell me? She was peace personified.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So.
Yep. Yeah. That was her.
So, yeah, it was. So, wow. But like I said, I'm on a journey now to try to answer the why. That's where, you know, the why and get my son to manhood and you know, hopefully have the joy of having his own family. You know, maybe God will let me meet my grandchildren and be pop one day. So, you know,
well, you're a good dad. Yeah, so I have, there's no doubt in my mind that he's not going to get to where you want to see.
Yeah, he's a good kid.
So. And he's a good kid.
Yeah, well,
you guys did great with him. Yeah,
well, I thank you, and I say that to say that, you know, nobody's promised tomorrow. So I posted something one time. It was a remember that what was that ball that movie Eddie Murphy did
the G.
ball guard? Yeah, G.
Yeah, I saw you. Yeah,
you saw that. Yeah, and he was talking about how many finite days we have, and he counted them down, and you know. So I was watching, and I was thinking about it. And I was like, wow, if that's the case, what I got like 25?
Have you ever seen that movie?
No.
He was saying was he was like, if you're lucky, you get 75 winters, 75 springs, 75 summers, 75 and he broke it down like that. Yeah. So
I'm saying, like, I hope that I, you know, have enough of them left, because, you know, Crystal didn't, and she didn't know. You know what I mean? So she had no idea, and she lived. And the funny thing, I'll tell you this too. The funny thing about it, and this is another great thing about God and the Holy. I say God and the Holy Ghost. The last 2 years that my wife lived, she did amazing things. She came to me one day and she felt like, like she wanted, you know, she's like, are you okay with this? You know, I don't want to. I said, babe, I said, you don't gotta, you know, worry about me. I said, this is your time. And the crazy thing is, I really do believe that God, he writes the plan, right?
Absolutely.
So he knew what was going to happen. The Holy Ghost kind of led her to do the things that she was doing, so you know, so that she could, you know, that so that she could, you know, live life, live the what life she had to the fullest. She saw people that, you know, that she cared about. You know, she helped me bring parts of my family back together. She took care of people with mental and physical disabilities. I mean, she was very patient and merciful about it in a lot of cases. Those that know what she was going through know what I'm talking about. And she, you know, she touched children. You know, she touched. I had so many people come up to me and talk about. This one kid saw it and. He on Facebook, DM'd me and said, he's a man now, but when she was younger, she used to teach at a children's camp, you know, for troubled boys. And he said, Miss Crystal helped me. I don't know what would have happened if I didn't have Miss Crystal. And I never met this kid before he's a man. He's in his, you know, mid-20s or something like that. And he said, I don't know where I would have been. And that was powerful to me. You know what I mean? She really touched a lot. And I don't think she knew how many people that she actually touched. So, and in all of that, she chose to be with me. That's what I was like, you know, so, you know, I miss her. And, you know, at this point, it's about putting my feet back on the ground. And I'm going to mark actually today with putting my feet back on the ground and trying to make a effort to really walk forward. Because she was always saying, whatever happens to you, whatever trials you go through, you just got to keep moving forward. You got to keep moving forward. She'd say that over and over again. When she was stressed out, when I was stressed out, when Miles was going through whatever he was going through, that's what she would say. So, you know, that's who I am and where I am, and I'm on a mission to answer the question why. And, you know.
Were you about to say something?
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, this, you sitting here and being a part of this show, it was destined to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It was destined to happen. Well, like, from us yeah, working
yeah,
together,
yeah.
You trying to get me to come, you talking about, me and my wife, we go to this church, the pastor's awesome, it's this.
Yeah.
And, like, we was the only ones to talk about God at work.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then all those years go by without us seeing each other or talking to each other. Yeah, and then your wife comes into this church.
Yep.
And then I find out that that's your wife.
Yeah.
And then that's your son.
Yeah.
And now you're sitting here.
Yep. Yep, that's crazy, right?
Again, God be doing this thing, don't he?
Again, that's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. That's another show we should do too, because you and I talked. Remember, I talked about miracles and how everybody is looking for, you know, the parting of the Red Sea. They're looking for, you know, all of these amazing, you know, wine, water to wine, all these amazing miracles. But the crazy thing is, they happen to us every day.
Every day.
You just got to pay attention. And a lot of people don't pay attention. They just don't pay attention. And they happen every day. I mean, that what you're talking about, that was one miracle. You know what I mean? And it took a while to come full circle. But I still believe it's more than that. You know what I mean? I believe, you know, the fact that I'm sitting here is part of it. But I still believe there's more to it than that. I really did. No, so, yeah.
No, I
really,
I am. Yeah, cause, I seriously
cause,
am.
Because... you know, you were different then when we first met. I was different. It's weird too. We know some people. You know,
who graduated with somebody.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's you know, the whole that's the weird thing. You know, about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a living, breathing thing that, you know, God put in place to tie things together, to execute, to make things in the world happen. And those little miracles happen in the world every single day, all the time. You just got to pay attention.
Well, that's on the topic list. Yeah. I just put it on the list. So we got it.
Yep.
Thank you for opening up to us. I do have a couple things that I want to say, okay. From hearing what you said and your story.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that you talked about that little boy who's not a man and who's mm-hmm. not a man mm-hmm. and the impact that your wife had on him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, legacy is not defined as what we do in life, the things that we do in life. Legacy is defined on the impact we make on other people mm-hmm. and the changes they make in their lives because of the impact we made on them. It's not about the bank account, the businesses you own. Yeah. Oh, I want to leave a legacy. That's not a legacy.
Yep, right. I agree. You know?
Mm-hmm. And I think your wife really, really understood that. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that you also mentioned that the one thing that she kept telling you was to keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's going to be very direct. Mm-mm. And we can talk about this. We can talk about this tomorrow,
okay,
or another day. Mm-hmm. But I need you to stop focusing. Mm-hmm. You said your main thing right now is to figure out why, mm-hmm. and that is absolutely the wrong mentality okay. to try to figure out why. There's a lot of things that I want to tell you. Did you write that down too?
I wrote that down.
There's a whole lot of things that I want to tell you. I am taking a class called Spiritual Formation right now. Mm-hmm. This book is literally changing my life.
Okay.
And the author of this book, Robert Mulholland, defined spiritual formation as a process of being formed in the image of Christ for the sake of others.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So as I've been reading this book just for the last 2 days, I've been reading it. And one of the things that I'm learning from it is that that process, sometimes we see results right away. But there's sometimes in life when you kind of feel like your life is just stagnant, mm-hmm. right? That nothing's really going on. Mm-hmm. And the reason that that's happening is because God is working in some deep issues that are inside of you mm-hmm. before he can put into fruition what's going to happen with you, right? So the why lies in within the process of becoming Christ-like mm-hmm. for the sake of others. And there's a lot of things that I want to get into, and I would love to talk to you more about it, but I need you to stop making your focus on the why, because one day, without you focusing, you're going to be like, huh? Because you also mentioned, and I agree and also disagree, you also mentioned, man, what if we never turned away? Mm-hmm. We could have done so much good,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
One of
yeah,
the reasons definitely. That I have heard from my mentors that I'm going to be a good fit and a good pastor is because of that 30 years that I strayed. Mm-hmm. See, I was able to talk to Elijah about his divorce. Mm-hmm. I was able to talk to people about drinking, mm-hmm. about drugs, mm-hmm. about this and about that because I lived that life. I know what it's about, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people... And I'm not saying, look, even Pastor Pete said this to me. One of his things was, you know, you're more equipped to be a pastor at that church than I was when I first became the pastor at that mm-hmm. church because I bring all that experience mm-hmm. of how to deal with those different things. So that away, because sometimes I feel, man, what if I didn't steer? Mm-hmm. What if I became a pastor when I was 21 years old and I've been pastoring this whole time? Yep. How many lives would have saved, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not the process. And what I'm also learning from this book is that every single journey, you know, and it's funny because it's called Invitation to a Journey, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. a roadmap for spiritual formation, mm-hmm. right? So every journey that we're on is always going to be, my journey is not going to be like his. It's not going to be like his. It's not going to be like yours. It's not, every journey is different. Mm-hmm. So you can never compare and be like, man, because I was always, when I first started coming to church, I'm like, man, if I did what Pastor Pete did, right? Because I became a Christian when I was 6 years old. Mm-hmm. I stayed close to Christ, mm-hmm. went on a missions trip, and I'm always like, man, if I wouldn't have steered and I would have just stayed. But no, that wasn't the journey that I was supposed to go on. Mm-hmm. Not saying that the Lord wanted me to reject him, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But through that, the Lord was still working in me. Mm-hmm. It's called perennial grace, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right? It's that grace that you still have.
Yeah.
You know, because I look back at my life, and there should have been a lot of times where I should have been dead.
Yes, yes.
I remember the one time I did so many drugs, I have no idea how to overdose and I didn't die.
Yeah.
But that's because the Lord had plans with me, you know, and he was growing me, you know. And a lot of times it's like, you know, we expect results. And I talked about that in my sermon. When you become saved, you expect like, boom. Yeah. You know, and it's like having a baby and expecting them to be an adult the next day. It doesn't happen. Yeah. There's stages that happen. Yep. Now, there's some times mm-hmm. where a kid grows up overnight, over like a span of 6 months, mm-hmm. where he's like, yeah. you know, and that'll happen in our spiritual lives too. Mm-hmm. We'll be like, bam, I'm growing. But then there's going to be times when we're stagnant. Well, we're not stagnant. It's just that the Lord has to work on stuff behind the scene in us to form us into the likeness of Christ. Mm-hmm. So I will get deeper into that with you, mm-hmm. but the why, trying to find out why, is going to drive you nuts.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That is the last thing you yeah. need to be trying to figure out is why. Yeah. But brother, listen, you amaze me. I love that you're with us because this is he couldn't have said any better. You're in a family. This is a family. We have mm-hmm. the church, mm-hmm. which is our church family, mm-hmm. but the brotherhood mm-hmm. that this is
what's the matter?
You watching the game?
You watching the Knicks?
Oh, I thought you watching the game? I didn't realize we were still. Are we still doing the show? I thought you guys were just talking.
Oh my goodness!
I didn't realize something was going on.
But I love you. You guys have always said the Lord wants to do something with us, yeah. and now you're sitting next to each other in ministry.
You stole my yeah. closing, right? But it's cool.
The whole crystal thing. The whole crystal mm-hmm. thing, mm-hmm. The Lord might not want you to be a kids pastor, mm-hmm. but he might want you to take a step into kids pastoring because that's the road you got to take to where you're calling, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So our as Christians, as followers of Christ, as disciples, mm-hmm. is to say yes. If a door's open, we go through that door without any question. Mm-hmm. We go through it. If it opens up, we go. Mm-hmm. The Lord will shut the door when he's ready. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. if these doors keep opening for you, you got to go through them. You can't say, well, I like kids, but I got no. You got to go through it because yeah. that's the Lord speaking. That's the journey He's taking you in.
I don't like kids.
I still tell my wife this, and I've said it before. This man will be a pastor one day, leading a church.
Yeah, in heaven,
he will. So that being said, listen. I love that you're here. I thank you. He's going to close. We're going to go into prayer because some people want to watch the playoffs.
Playoffs!
Well, I'm going to close it, even though Tom stole my closing, because basically what I was going to say was the same thing. Like, how many years ago was that when we first met?
I don't even know now. It was a minute.
It was a lot. At least 08, 09, maybe?
Something like that.
About
yeah,
that.
It was. So, I've been up here now. I was with my wife for 15 years. I've been up here for 14 years. So
it had to be about 12 or 13
yeah,
years ago.
Yeah, something easy. Like that. Yeah, easy.
Yeah. But after meeting and bumping into each other again and you constantly saying that we're supposed to do mm-hmm. something and Crystal saying the same thing, that we're supposed to do something. Mm-hmm. And, like, he stole. Like, we're sitting here now mm-hmm. and this may be the end game. Mm-hmm. This may not be the end game. Mm-hmm. But your testimony isn't finished.
Yeah, God's right. not done with me yet. Yep.
There you go. So thank you for listening. If you're still watching, share us.
290 in the metaverse right now.
290
best in the episode metaverse. Ever.
Booming. Metro. Booming. So you can watch us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, Podcast Addict. YouTube Live?
Sure.
No. No, because YouTube is uploaded later.
But if we're there, let us know.
Please. We are there.
Oh, we are there.
We're there yeah. in real life and in the metaverse. Check yeah. us out. Boom.
Oh, we're live on YouTube right now?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I
so
knew
there's
that.
Another thing you can tell your the people that you're promoting that. For. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you after this episode is done, you make sure you share it to your page. Absolutely. So that way everybody who you yeah. can they can check you out. Yeah. And then we might get 3 more followers.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you because we skipped 3 episodes, whether it was laziness, whether it was sickness, whatever the reason was.
Laziness.
It was a little bit of laziness. And, you know, when you stay away from something, it's always hard to go back to it. And I feel like this show just got a new set of tires. This vehicle Amen. That we drive called the Prodigal Sons, this ministry that we're in right now, just got a fresh new set of tires. We got a schedule that we have. I don't think we've ever had a schedule like this. And we got Brother Chris in the rotation, Lord. And I just thank you mm-hmm. for giving us that extra affirmation, that extra Amen. Spark plug that this ministry needed to say, hey, we're not done yet. I'm not even yes. close to being done with you guys. Yes. You guys are still in this and you're changing lives and you're working on yourselves and growing. And I just thank you for doing that for us, Father God. Thank you so much. Thank you for bringing Chris. Thank you for him just saying yes. Because really, we told him at the movie theater, hey, well, you're coming in. He goes, really? He actually thought we were punking him, Father. He thought we were kidding with him. But he just said yes. And that's what I want him to keep doing, Father God. Thank you, Father. I thank you for his story. I thank you for him being here, Lord. And I pray for the people that are watching us, Lord. I know we've been getting some really nice comments today about this show touching them, Lord. And this is one of the reasons we do it, Lord, is if we can just make a difference in one person's life, Lord. This is whole show was just absolutely 100% worth it and for your glory, Lord. I wanted to continue to pray, Father God, for Shane's wife and himself as they try to find a church where God calls them and where they can serve together and individually, Lord. I know that's tough, trying to find a new church. I know that my wife and I did. We searched for 3.5 years before you brought us here, Lord. But the nice thing I know is that you'll know when you're at the right church. Mm-hmm. You'll just know, Father God. So I just continue to pray for Brother Shane and his wife as they did a big move, and now they're looking for a church, Lord. We pray for Randy's daughter, Jovi, Lord, healing and her new diagnosis. I don't know exactly what the new diagnosis were, Lord, but I know someone that does, and that's you, Father God. You are the creator. You are the great physician. You are the one that knows all, Father God. And I just pray for this family right here. When it comes to kids, it's a little tender when they're not doing well, Lord. We pray for Jen Ween, Lord. She was just diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and she's got a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old kids, and that's not easy, Lord. That's not easy, because I know in her head she's thinking, if something happens, what's going to happen to the kid? So it's not just the sickness, it's not just the cancer, but it's all the psychological stuff that comes along with it, Father God. So I just pray for this family here. I want to continue to pray for my mom, as she is not, her spirit and her relationship with you, Father God, has never been closer, which is really all that matters, Lord. But she's also going through some medical issues, and I just pray for that. I she's still here. That means you're not done with her, Father God. I know you can heal her. I pray for my sister. She's got some medical stuff going on with her as well that's kind of serious, and you know the details of all that, Lord, and you know how emotional my sister is right now, but you also know how much faith she has, Lord. So just Amen. Be with her, give her that sense of peace, let her know that you're there, and let her know that whatever it is, you are the one that could heal her, Lord. I pray for Mike Morlando, Father God. He's been in the hospital now for 3 months, Lord, with cancer all over his body. Don't know when he's coming home. I talk to him every single day, and every time I ask him what he's doing, he says, I'm reading my Bible, Father God. And as a brother in Christ, as someone that's been just building a relationship with Mike, nothing makes me happier to know that someone is going through the worst time of their lives, but what they're doing is reading your word, Lord. Amen. I pray for Joy's mom and Edwin and their family as she's in hospice, and we're not sure exactly when you're going to call her home, but they're having a hard time handling this whole transition, Father God. So just be with that family and everyone that's sick, Lord. You know everyone that's sick in our church and outside of our church and the community, and just be with them, Lord. It is an ugly world out there, Father God, but we have you. We know the final game. We know the final plan, and we just thank you. Thank you. I thank you for what you're doing in this church, Lord. There's an exciting time for this church, not because nothing having to do with me, Father God, but just the things that you are doing in this church are just so awesome, and I just love it, and I thank you for it, Father God. I pray for my prodigal brothers. I pray for Sean that he gets his act together and stays out of jail, and just love these guys. I love Lisa so much for just, she just doesn't complain about anything, ever. Ever. So much stuff comes up with the show, and she just comes in with a smile and does it. Comes in when we're not here to do things. We walk in, the room smells nice now. That's never happened before. Just thank you for her, Lord. What a blessing. And I pray for Allison as she sits here during all the shows. I pray that what we speak to, Lord, that she can get something out of it, Father God. I know that she has a relationship with you. I know when I do the kids camp and the vacation Bible school, I almost say Alice is not allowed to answer the questions because she knows the Bible and she knows your word. She knows your voice. She recognizes you. But she's also going into the teenage stage, which is not an easy one in school, Father God. That's when the devil really tries to get to them. So I just pray with her for her, Lord. Stay with her. Guide her. Let her illuminate your love in that school that she's at, Father God. And we just love you. We thank you for bringing us here tonight. For in your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Yes.
Wow. Great yes. show.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. We got a spark plug. We got a new set of tires. We got it all ready to go. Just need to borrow some money for gas and we'll... it was a really good night to be here tonight. And looking forward to it next week. I'll be off, but we have four people here talking about prayer life. That'll be fun. I'll be commenting and making fun of you guys from home.
Yeah, it sure is.
So, because I'm not going to know what to do with a Tuesday without, you know.
Yeah, the shows you did it for 3 weeks in a row.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, fair enough. All right. Love you. Thanks a lot, guys. See you next week.
God bless, guys.
Bye. Peace.